what an effort that is. A wonderful goal, Matthijs.
Martin Albion are promoted to the Championship.
Middlesbrough's Premier League exile is over.
Any managers, hit me up on the WhatsApp.
Hello and welcome to the 72 Show. I'm your host, Anthony Kendrick, and this week I'm joined by Nick Davey.
Good evening.
And joining us later in the show, we've got Greenwich Borough manager Gary Alexander. Are you well, Nick?
Yeah, very well, thank you.
All right, well, obviously it was the FA Cup first round this weekend just gone, so we'll come on to that later in the show, but to start with, I just want to briefly talk about a few stories in the Championship. I know you really want to talk about Steve Sidwell's goal, so do you want to tell us about that in 2-0 win for you guys?
Yeah, well, I'm sure a lot of the viewers have probably seen it, and I think one of the best goals I think we're going to see all season, and certainly one of the best Brighton goals I think I'm ever going to see in my lifetime. I mean, absolutely outstanding left foot on his weaker foot from 50 yards out, and then to lob the keeper. It was just an absolutely exceptional goal, and again sums up everything going right for us at the moment, really. I think that sort of sums it all up again with the second goal as well. Murphy, lovely run, a lovely shot, and obviously the deflection helps it go in the bottom corner. So it's all going sort of our way at the moment, and I well deserved break now for the lads, and it's all going to plan at the moment, really. And second in the league, 5 points clear of Huddersfield. I don't think any fan can complain where we are at this stage in the season. So it's just a case of not taking the foot off the gas. We've got a very tough game after the international break against Aston Villa. So we just need to keep it going, really.
Well, that's the thing, Newcastle won as well, and now it looks like Brighton and Newcastle getting a bit of a gap over third place.
Yes, I mean, obviously, last year it was always very, very tight, but if we can keep getting that gap bigger and bigger and bigger, then I'll feel a bit more relaxed. But 5 points in the Championship, that can be wiped away in a matter of weeks, so it's certainly nothing to laugh about at the moment. We're, as I say, 5 points clear. It's, in the Championship, that can be wiped away just like that. So we've just got to keep going, keep doing what we're doing, and certainly not letting the foot off the gas. And we know there's some very strong teams in there. Villa obviously starting to pick up points. We're going to see them pretty shoot up the table. Derby as well, they're getting into the hang of things. So we just need to make sure that we keep doing what we're doing and not stepping up.
Mm-hmm. Well, both Newcastle and Brighton, they're the two form teams, really. I mean, I know Brighton unbeaten in the last 10, and Newcastle, I think, won their last 7 games.
No, that's because, yeah, Newcastle. So, I mean, it's because I say, I think any point that gets dropped by them is going to be an eyebrow raiser. Quality throughout, and Cardiff obviously getting a decent run of form. So that's a good win for them. I think Rafa knows exactly what he's doing. There's just quality throughout. I mean, Christian Atsu, I forgot he was even playing for Newcastle this season. That's another big name. Obviously, I think he's been in class in the Premier League for Bournemouth and Everton, respectively, over the last few years. And Gyan Gouffon, another player who scored, he's really finding his feet at the Championship level. I think this has been his best season since he's joined Newcastle, and he's really enjoying it. So even players like that, the ones that you probably wouldn't at the start of the season have thought they'll be key players, and they're proven to be big players for Newcastle. So there's just quality throughout in that side, and I think they already look, as I say, I said it last week on the show, I think they already got half foot in the Premier League, to be honest with you.
Someone else, Reading, are in very good form. Yapstam, obviously in charge there. They beat Wigan 3-0 at the weekend. They've won the last couple of games, recovered a bit. Now they're in fourth place.
He's really taking the Championship well, Yapstam. I mean, I was impressed with Reading when I saw them in the season against the Albion. They played in the correct way, very high tempo. He's obviously, and the players are certainly responding to him. Gareth McCleary, he's gone a bit quiet over the last couple of seasons. He scored 2 goals, I think 2 in the first 5 minutes on Saturday. But I think they've got players like that. Jan Kermigan, we know he knows the league inside out. He's been there, done it with Bournemouth. They've got some good names there, Reading, and I think fourth in the league at the stage of the season. That's a fantastic going for them, and to say it's a obviously fantastic win at Wigan, not an easy place to go. So I think the supporters will be buzzing with their start of the season, and he's certainly looking like he knows what he's doing. Yapstam and same manager, and obviously fantastic player for United, and he's clearly adapting to the life in the Championship very well.
Speaking of Man United and adapting to the Championship, the Wigan manager, new Wigan manager, I should say, Warren Joyce has come in. He was the United under-21s manager. I know he had a very good reputation there, and United under-21s won 3 of the last 4 titles. He's moved to Wigan. I know a lot of United fans are sad to see him go, but I'm not really sure how he'll fare in the Championship. I don't know if you've got any thoughts.
Yes, I mean, to be fair, I think it actually seems to be quite a fit. He's very well respected at Man United. And with Wigan, it's quite a young team at Wigan that we sort of got promoted from League One. So it seems to me it's quite a good fit. Obviously, Wigan not too far from Manchester as well, so it'd be quite easy for him to maybe get some loan players in. And also, he probably might know the area as well to get maybe some young players in. So I think it has the makings of being a very good appointment. But then obviously you can look at the flip side of it. No experience in the Championship. If you don't have experience, we have seen managers get eaten alive in that league. So if you look at it that way, and it's been a tough start against Reading, losing 3-0. But I think once he can get this hanging out, I think this could be a very good appointment for Wigan. As a quite a young squad there, he's obviously clearly done very well at Man United working with youngsters. So I think it has the potential to be a very good appointment. However, there is that downside, no experience in the Championship. And as you say, plenty of managers over the years have struggled when they've entered it, because it is obviously an extremely tough division.
So Derby got another win under Steve McClaren. They beat Wolves 3-2. I know Sidwell scored a great goal, but Darren Bent also cracking volley and Tom Ince at the double.
Absolutely lovely goal. I mean, I was obsessed with that pass by Will Hughes. Absolute class that was. The technical quality just to dink it over the Wolves defence, and finished off by a great striker. I think people saying, Darren Bent seems to have lost it this season. I think that was him silent a lot of doubters because that was a great goal. And full credit to Will Hughes, that pass was absolutely outstanding. Dink over the Wolves defence. And to be fair, fair credit to both sides. I thought it was a great game of football and fantastic advert for the Championship. A really good game, and already, I think, one of the games of the season. Full credit to both sides. Derby, I think they've proven that they're definitely not out of this by any stretch of the imagination. I said all along that when they made the sacking at the right time, they can get someone in, they can pick up when there's still a lot of football to be played in there. They're certainly not out of the promotion race. Wolves, obviously, a very new team together. Rob Edwards has been holding the fort there, and he's a young manager, but I think he's. I think we have a lot of respect from the Wolves. Antonovi hasn't got the results, but he's has had the football he can play, and he's been sort of getting the players to express themselves a bit, playing attacking football. And as I said, I thought it was a great game. And so they're quite a new team together, Wolves. So they'll learn a hard way in a lot of games this season. But I think if they can get, I think with Paul Amber there now, an experienced manager who knows the Championship well, I think they've got a good season ahead of them still, I think, Wolves. Great manager there. They've got some good young, they've got some good exciting players at that football club, and they're not the finished article, but I think there could be some good times ahead there with Paul Lambert coming in.
Also, Leeds got into the playoffs. I know we spoke about them in depth with Andy Cousins being on last week. They went to Norwich and won 3-2, very difficult place to go. I think there's two ways looking at it. Ronaldo Vieira, great injury time goal, and now in the playoffs. But also Norwich now lost their last 3 games, and they need to get out of this bad run of form.
It's as I say, I think Alex Neil will certainly be worrying about his job. I mean, it's with Norwich, there's obviously a huge way of one of the clubs. There's a huge amount of pressure on them when you come down from the Premiership. You want to get back to that. You do not want to be sucked in and start fading away from your Brightons and Newcastles. You want to be up there, and they're losing. They're losing a few games at the moment, and they're not playing very well. They're conceding goals for fun, which is certainly extremely worrying for them. And I think Alex Neil certainly should be quite worried that his job could be under immense pressure. They've got an international break now, so it'll be the case of having some discussions. Where do we go from here? I think they need to hope. I think also hope that they don't lose any key players over the international break, because that could really be a big blow for them. However, on the flip side, outstanding win for Leeds. And so we spoke about the master, but Gary Monk's doing a heck of a job there. Full credit to the character they've shown right at the end. Obviously, Norwich with a late goal, get it back to Cyril, for Leeds to go on and win it. That shows what the character they've got there. And I think it also makes a huge statement of intent that Leeds 100% are in a playoff race this season. And as I say, full credit to them. And so the great character shown there, and I think that shows that they're definitely going to bottle for this season, and that they're here to stay, I think, in the promotion race.
Okay. QPR, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was sacked. He only won 2 games of the last 10. QPR in 17th place. So sort of one of them positions, really, that not really, only 6 points away from the playoffs, but not in there at the moment. Would you have sacked him, or do you think he's sort of done okay?
I think it's pretty harsh, to be honest. I think he's only been in the job since December. Mm-hmm. December last year, I should say. So about 11 months. It's a bit harsh, to be honest with you. It's going to take a lot of... I mean, looking at their squad on paper, it's not going to be up there in the season, with all due respect. I think that there's a lot of young players there. They've got Hasselbank. Don't forget, it takes time. I mean, Hasselbank at Burton Albion, he did well there. I know a lot of it was laid sort of on a plate, and he sort of used the smooth... we've said it before, how well Burton Albion's run as a club. And Hasselbank came and did well. I think they should have given him time. I mean, it's a club that's still a long, it's insane. It's a long way from being the finished article. It's a big, real, whoever gets the job now has still got a lot of building tasks on their hands. I know they're 17th in the league. No one in that football club wants to be down there. They want to get back to the Premier League, but I think they have to be a bit realistic where they are with the squad they've got. Certainly, I don't think it's going to be getting there. Certainly, nowhere near automatic promotion this year. I'd be like amazed they get a playoff spot. I think sometimes your owners just have to be a little bit realistic there. But as I say, I think it's a bit of a harsh sacking. I think they're giving him time to prove what he can do. I don't think he's done it. I don't think they've given him long enough. And so I think whoever comes in, whoever they can get in, I think Tim Sherwood's been linked with
them. Yeah.
I think it's going to be a very tough job on whoever takes over. And I think they need a lot of time to sort of rebuild that club back up and get a strong squad together.
No, I completely agree. And I've got my notes in front of me, and I wrote deluded owners in a question mark. So I think I can cross out the question mark, to be honest. I don't think they're going to get promoted, but I think the owners expect that.
Again, so I think it's Tony Fernandes is there's always huge pressure at QPR. It's one of these clubs that everyone at the football club wants to see them club in the top half. They want to be challenging promotion over certainly what we see over the last few years. I think someone just has to sort of almost look at and accept that there's a lot of other clubs in that league who have got stronger. We've seen it obviously with Brighton and Huddersfield, even Leeds, as we've just spoken about. And I think there's just that level of expectations thinking. We're not going to be bashing this league to bits. We're going to have to work. We're going to learn a lot of games the hard way this season. And at the end of the day, they've got a young team there at QPR that it's not going to be a relegation battle. But they need to accept that it's going to be a tough year. This league, it's a tough division, and sort of making quick sackings, it's not going to be the answer. And as I would personally give Hasselbank a bit more time. I don't know if they got a name lined up to replace him. I think Tim Sherwood's been linked. Make of that what you will. I think it's going to be whoever takes over. They've got a tough job on their hands, and if they've got an impatient owner, it's almost like a recipe for disaster, really.
All right, so we're joined by Gary Alexander, who's played at several clubs, and Nick. I know Nick's got a few questions, so over to you, Nick.
Hi, Gary. We'll start off with your earlier career. What was it sort of like coming through the West Ham setup? I think that's where you started your career, I believe, mate.
Yeah, no, it was very good. I was lucky to sort of get picked up. I didn't get picked up till 17. I was playing the cup final, and I was asked to go on trial, and I went and played a game, and I actually had to come off with a head injury. I was lucky enough that they conscious.
Oh, that's sorry, it's was there any sort of famous players in the academy when you were coming through? I know obviously you're a big name yourself in the Football League, but any other sort of big names that you remember playing with back in the day?
Well, I was lucky enough to obviously play with Carrick, Carl, people like that. We played in the same sort of Premier Youth League side, and year above you had Ferdinand, Lampard, people like Lee Hodges, Manny O'Neill, so there was plenty of top quality players in and around the West Ham side at the time I was there.
Quality. Obviously, moving on from in your later career, I know one spell that you were fantastic, and I certainly remember seeing you play at this football club. Also, it was at Leyton Orient, and why did it sort of go so well there? I mean, that was sort of I think you scored the most goals in your career. What was sort of it about Leyton Orient that sort of why it all went so well?
To be honest, it was close to a good manager of Paul Brough signed me there, and Martin Lynn took over. Obviously, before I went to Martin Lynn, you know, it was a club that gave me an opportunity. I was playing up north at Hull at the time. I needed to get back to London, maybe I had the opportunity, and I spent 4.5 years there, and had many great times there, you know, scoring the goals, and it's a tremendous club. It's just a shame to see the way things are going at the moment.
Yeah, we've discussed obviously Leyton Orient quite a bit this year, and yeah, it seems to be the sort of idiotic owners really there, and as I say, they're in sort of dire straits. They've got smashed 6-0 on Saturday, Sheffield United, and it all just seems to be a bit of a mess really. I think they're just second from bottom in League Two, and I just really hope they can sort of find a way to work out. They've got some great supporters there, Leyton Orient, and
definitely. We get a few of them come over to us at Greenwich, because John Mackey's my assistant. He was captain when we got promoted later on, and he's my assistant at Greenwich. And
yeah,
we get quite a few later on fans come over, and I've still got many friends over there.
Oh, that's good. It's good to see. And as I say, I think the one thing later on I said this year, there's been a lot of stuff I haven't really got with the Dean Cox sort of situation, and the sort of management, they've been chairman, sort of be a bit like the Leeds chairman, sort of sacking managers willy-nilly. It just all seems to be a bit of a mess there. Another club that you obviously are at is Mill. What was it like signing for them? So am I right in saying I think you're a big fan of them as a boy?
Yeah, no, I used to go and watch an awful lot of them, you know, and it was a ground that I was brought up not far from, and the opportunity came on the South London lad, obviously playing 4.5 years over Leyton Orient, it was a chance to come back to South. And when they all come in, it was a club I was never going to turn down. I was out of contract for Leyton Orient, and I just felt it was time to move on.
Yeah, I mean, one goal that I think everyone obviously remembers you by, and was that, in my opinion, the best ever goal at Wembley Stadium. Do you still get that whenever you're walking through sort of the streets? Do people always sort of remind you about that goal against Scunthorpe?
Yeah, to be honest, whenever you speak to any Mill fan, they always, that's the first thing they say, obviously bringing that goal up. Something I'll never forget, I'll always remember it. Obviously, the result I won't, obviously don't want to remember, but you know, it's something that can carry with me for the rest of my life, the goal I scored, you know, and they've always reminded me of something I can be proud of.
With that goal, I mean, I was watching a bit of a YouTube clip for just before you came on, and sort of, was it just instincts alone? As soon as you hit a bit of sort of, as soon as you hit it, did you know exactly that was going in the back of the net?
Yeah, you could see I caught it well, and like, as I said, it's not often you hit a volley that well. I don't think I struck a ball that well in my whole career, you know, and it happened to be on that day at Wembley, which is a dream come true.
Yeah, no, it was a fantastic goal, and I think, yeah, I mean, it was just, I say, in my opinion, the best goal was at Wembley, I think for a while, especially in the playoffs. I was moving away now from the playing side of things. So, how did you end up at Greenwich then? Because I know, obviously, I think your last sort of professional club was Burton Albion, if I'm right in saying.
I decided to retire from my career at Burton. I decided to call it a day from the professional game. I had a couple of offers to sort of stay, and I decided to call it a day. Someone just mentioned Greenwich Borough. I just wanted to play and just enjoy football. Like, obviously, I've enjoyed football. It was my job, but I just wanted to play with no pressure and just obviously spend more time with my family. And someone said that Greenwich Borough was a decent club, and I got in touch, spoke to the chairman, and I signed for them as a player. I was there a year and a half, and then obviously I offered me a job.
Yeah. Well, with Greenwich this season, I think you got promoted last season, all right? Now you're second in the league, 5 points off behind Dorking. How do you feel the season's going? I must say, I did see you play actually. Yeah, well, I saw your team play about a month ago, maybe a couple of months ago, away at Lewis. You won 4-2. I thought Greenwich were the best team. I mean, I sometimes get down to watch Lewis play when I'm not at the Albion games. Greenwich class, I thought they just looked a class above Lewis, and in my opinion, they looked a running Premier even come from South Side. I mean, there's some players in there that were Glenn Wilson and Bradley Pritchard, Charlie McDonald. They could all probably do a job in the National League.
I've managed to build a good squad. That performance that night was the first 45 minutes we especially played in against Lewis, which was probably the best that we played, you know, and we put in performances quite like that quite regular, but it's just made it last 90 minutes, you know. It's, like you said, we've mentioned players there, I've managed to get in and just purely because of my contact, their respect for me, you know. It's a lot of people say, oh, Greensboro's got this, Greensboro's got that. Actually, you could put a record straight, Greensboro don't have that. You know, it's all done within a budget, which isn't bad. I know it's not the biggest budget in the league, but certainly tries to be the budgets. And, you know, I'm lucky to have contact with football, what gives me heads up on these players. And many of these players I've actually played with, which I know are still hungry to succeed, i.e. Charlie McDonald, Peter Sweeney, players like that, they're still hungry, you know, so they definitely do a job at these levels.
Sure, I must just add, I just heard you say about the budget thing. So you say it's not the biggest in the league?
No, by a long shot, certainly not.
Oh, crikey. No, sorry, I don't sound surprised. I don't mean to... When I was at the Lewis game, I could hear a lot of sort of muttering around. People said, they've got money falling out their ears sort of thing. And I must admit, I sort of presumed it with when I see him play like Bradley Pritchard.
If I'm being honest, Lewis is just a good player on loan where I could have took him on loan, but I couldn't afford him. So that's the sort of...
Johnny Smith.
I'm not going to name players, you know, it's not fair to name players, but obviously,
yeah.
I was told what it was on, and I said that I won't be able to beg yet. So, obviously, Lewis happened. I know that Welling would want their full sort of money for that player, and I couldn't afford it, so.
Okay, mate, no, sorry, I didn't mean to get into all the budget sort of.
No, that's right. It's just totally not true. The budget is talk about, it's totally not true, and I'd imagine there'd be plenty of clubs with a bigger budget than us in that league. It's just obviously I have players in there, which I want to get down because of my contacts, because of the respect they have for me and the respect I have for them, so I'm lucky in that.
No, it's good to hear, and because I was having a discussion with a Mill supporter, and he was sort of saying that about players, they just solely go to clubs for money. I think it was more about the professional players, because I know obviously when you join Mill, a lot of stuff have been made a lot of sentimental value for you. But that's good to know that obviously players in non-league aren't just going to a club willy-nilly for the money and giving a kiss
and that's the thing that I wouldn't want to play above the odds. I know what level we're at. I speak to the chairman regularly. I know what level we're at. And since myself and John have come in, we've probably knocked the budget down in terms of what it used to be and things like that. And we know the level and we know what people deserve and what sort of money should be paid. And we don't see why it should spiral out of control.
No, it's good to know, mate. So I think, as I say, that night I thought Greenwich did play some very good football. And as I say, I haven't been down to Lewis many times this season, but I've seen them play a bit in the Ryan Premier last season. I mean, there were many dissimilarities with the team at the top of the Ryan Premier and yourselves. But you are second in the league. How do you sort of feel the season is going as a whole of the season? Are you satisfied, or do you want that little bit more from the players, or if anything, are you punching above your weight?
No, we're always striving for success. Always looking to improve. To be fair, we had a slow start. We lost two of our first three games. We had a good chat within the dressing room, and we sort of said how we want to work. We brought in players and sort of said to them that you're the player that I brought in. I put trust in you, but at the same time, you've got to give us a little bit back. And we went on a 9-game winning run, which saw us take over at the top of the league, you know. And York in one of the sides that beat us, who were a very good side, you know. So we've got a game in hand on them, 5 points behind, but we'll just keep moving along week in, week out, and see where it takes us.
Yeah, sure. So Dawkins, Dawkins have sort of come up from the county league as well, like yourselves really, over the last few years, and Dawkins, they've got a lot of good young players there. I think they've had Tom Tolfield over the years, who's been banging them in the cup. So I think you and Greenwich, I think that should be a very good win. I don't know, have you played Dawkins yet this season?
Yeah, we lost to them on the first day of the season. We lost to them down at their place. So, looking at some of the sides, I'd say anyone in the top half at the moment can probably put a run together and say, well, when he's got Hastings, You've even got Luz who are on a run now, you know, so you can't discard anyone. Probably the top 9 or 10 will all fancy their chances of either winning the league or making the playoffs.
Absolutely, yeah. Obviously, we're going to discuss it in full length in a bit with the FA Cup, but I think I'm right in saying that you guys crashed out at the in the first qualifying round to Walton Casuals 3-2. Was that obviously extremely disappointing for you? And sort of talk us through that game. What happened in that game, mate?
Yeah, no, it was obviously disappointing to lose any game. I don't want to lose any football match. Obviously, you have to accept the defeat. A difficult game, to be fair, because of the Friday I had 10 men. And if you look at my bench, people wouldn't know anyone. I had kids on the bench that day, so I couldn't change anything. We was 2-0 up. Andy Gale's a good friend of mine, so I know that he's a good coach and a capable manager. He's put a good side together down there. But we was 2-0 up, cruising, to be fair. Conceded a goal late in the first half, and second half again, you know, there were a few harsh words because they came out and outran us, and that's not what happened to my teams, and it did on that day. But as I said, we responded straight after by down a win league fixtures, so it was sometimes a good learning curve to get a knockback like that.
Yeah, no, first, yeah, as I say, I was if anything, I know it's a heap, but I say Walton Casuals, they're another one who's sort of been in the running south for a while, and they've got quite a strong team together there, I believe. Got some big, powerful forwards, I understand. I think that's about all the questions I've got that answer. I don't know if you've got any you want to ask.
Yeah, I'm just wondering, as a player, if you've got any memories of the FA Cup, if there's anything, you know, any goals you scored or anything memorable, really?
The FA Cup, we beat Fulham in the FA Cup, but at Craven Cottage when they were in the Premier League, so late in Orient, we went there and knocked them out, and then we drew Charlton in the fourth round, and we was unlucky not to beat them. We probably should have won on the day. We ended up getting beat 2-1. That was my time at late in Orient, and I remember as an 18-year-old after Exeter, we drew Everton at St James's Park, drew 0-0, and took them back to Goodison Park, and took them to Farnborough when they were in about the 87th minute to knock us out. But it's something you remember.
Okay. What was the other thing? I just want to ask, we've discussed it earlier, but with Burton Albion, I know you were there for a bit. I'm not sure if you were there when Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank was there, but I just wonder what your thoughts are on him being sacked as QPR boss.
No, to be honest, I wasn't there under Jimmy. Obviously, when Gary Rowett left, he took over, but he's done a fantastic job at Burton. No, and he's put probably put his probably down to him where they are today, you know, in terms of the squad he built and things like that. And Burton have well in the championship now, and obviously Jimmy see QPR as a bigger job and a better job, and he's took that opportunity. But we see our management is, it's ruthless at all levels, to be honest. If you don't get results, you end up getting the axe, and unfortunately for Jimmy that's what's happened. But as I said, I'm sure he'll bounce back, and he's proved his credentials before, and I'm sure he'll go and do it again somewhere else. But QPR wasn't the right club for him.
Okay. Well, we'll move on to the FA Cup. Obviously, it was the first round over the weekend just gone. So many stories, so many different games to go through. It's impossible to know where to start. But I'll start with Macclesfield, who they were the only non-league club to beat a 72 club. They went to Walsall 1-1-0, and I was reading that they've made £30,000 so far from the FA Cup run, which, according to the manager, is going to pay their VAT bill.
No, definitely. Obviously, the FA Cup is what premiums are made for, but the smaller clubs, and the further they can go, the better it is, because the financial support in it's fantastic for some of them. And for clubs like Macclesfield, like they've just said there, they've covered a bill there which needs paying, and the FA Cup's managed to do that. That's great for them.
And Macclesfield, I feel over the years we've seen them, they've had some great cup runs over the years. I mean, a few years ago, when they were managed by Steve King, they sort of beat Cardiff 2-1, then lost to Wigan, but I think they've had some big games. I think they've had Everton as well the last few years. But
It's not an easy place to go. Just to get drawn away, it's not an easy game. And if you end up going to a replay with them and it's a Tuesday night, it's even worse.
Yeah, exactly. I think with Macclesfield as well, they were in the Football League. They've been in that sort of non-league for a while, so that can only help them as well in their hope for promotion this season. So that's to be fair to Walsall as well. Walsall have been playing some great football as well in League One, so that is a great win for Macclesfield.
No, that's tough scout. It's not easy to go to Walsall and Navy, you know, especially like you said, the way they've been playing for Macclesfield to go there and get results, fantastic.
I'll move on to the lowest side in the competition, ninth tier Westfields. They drew 1-1 at home to Curzon Ashton. So a replay next Tuesday for them.
That's great. I think Westfield actually knocked out Walton Casuals and knocked us out when they drew them the round after they played us. Westfield played Walton Casuals and beat them. And to be honest, I was one who expected Walton Casuals to beat Westfield, but they haven't. And they've proven to be a good addition, you know. And like you said, they've got the right to be in the competition they're in. So hopefully, and again, we talk about the money. I'm sure it'll help their club wholesale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, Westfield, that is some achievement. As I say, you saw the ground. I mean, their ground was just couldn't be non-league. I mean, you know, when you saw the highlights with like a park pitch just behind it, sort of the kid was simply walking on the pitch when Curzon scored at the end. But no, I mean, it was a shame they couldn't hang on. But no, I mean, I think, you know, going to Curzon, I think that'd be really tough for them. But I think it's been a fun getting to the first round. Being a ninth tier team is just absolutely amazing, and I think no one in that football club would have dreamt of getting to the first round.
We was unlucky at Greenwich Borough a couple of years back. We just missed out. We lost to Worcester in the final playoff round, and they went on to draw Coventry, not Coventry out. So that was one end. But no, it's great for Westfield. You know, it's great to see, and when the lower league clubs progress, it's fantastic.
Another side who maybe were unlucky not to hold on, Boreham Wood. They drew 2-2 with Notts County, Football League Notts County. They were 2-0 up, but then they got pegged back by a double from Adam Campbell in the second half.
Yeah, no, like, as we said, it's the FA Cup, anything can happen. We've seen bigger shots than that. We'll see bigger shots from round three, thanks, you know, and it's, as we said, it's great for these non-league sides and more progressive. It only bodes well for non-league football, you know, when they can go up against these league sides and match them and get the results, which help them to progress. It only, like, as I said, it is good for non-league football. It just shows the quality that is down there.
Yeah, a bit of with Bournemouth. The goals of Bournemouth scored were brilliant. And Balanza as well, who got the second goal. He was sort of playing in the Championship not so long ago for QPR. But also a big credit to Notts County as well. 2-0 down. I mean, those players probably playing the feet of Salford off just every, oh, for Christ's sake, here we go again. So a bit of character for them to come back and get the replay.
Just want to pick up on a point that was made. I know I watched the BBC highlight show and Trevor Sinclair said the same thing. He was saying that the gap between Football League sides and, you know, teams in the lower divisions in the National League, Isthmian League and all the others, the gap is getting smaller and smaller every year. And you know, now compared to, like, say, 5 years ago, it's the lower sides have really improved. Is that something you both agree with? Or?
Yeah, no, I certainly agree with that, because if you look at it, the top leagues were importing more and more sort of foreign players, world-class players, and that just obviously people have to filter down, you know, and they have to filter down. There's only a certain amount of jobs, so if you want to play football, you have to play at these levels, and many of them are dropping out into the non-league, and there's some real quality in there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like we saw Eastleigh on Friday night against Swindon. I mean, Eastleigh are probably not far off in the way of budgets for Swindon, in all fairness. But like, I mean, you rarely in the FA Cup these days. It's that's why it's nice to see Westfields. I mean, they're probably a team that is made out of part timers. I mean, these days when you see a team like a bit like Whitehawk last year in the second round when they played Dagenham Redbridge, Whitehawk were probably favourites to win that game. I mean, they probably got the pretty bigger budget. They probably had a similar budget to Dagenham Redbridge last year in that game, and so I mean, yeah, there is the gap is getting smaller. I think it's more as well a bit of investment in some of these non-league clubs, and then they can afford to get sort of quality players, and then also in that token, players might not necessarily want to travel around the country, and then it sort of helps them in making more local journeys. I think that I completely agree with Trevor Sinclair that the gap is getting smaller and smaller every year.
You mentioned Whitehawk and Eastleigh, controversial moments in both them games. So Whitehawk drew 1-1 with Stourbridge, and there was that goal just as the final whistle was being blown, the volleyed goal, which obviously didn't count. And in the Eastleigh game, there was that goal, the goal which was not given, which appeared to have just about crossed the line. I think for that one, I don't think it's one you can really blame the linesman or anything for. It was literally an inch, 2 inches over the line. It was a very close decision. But a good save from Ryan Clark.
Yeah, no, was it Sergio Torres had a volley? Was it just that the whistle went and in the White Hawk game, which was obviously
volley,
if the time's up, the time's up, you know, obviously there's probably a phase of play where the ref thought he could blow the whistle, so it's probably unlucky for White Hawk, you know, and on another day it might have been given, but on this occasion it's not, so no complaints there. But and then in terms of the Eastleigh game, that's part and parcel of the game when we don't have the video, the cameras to prove whether it's crossed the line. And again, I'm one who thinks, yeah, obviously it happens in the Prem and tells you that a goal's been scored, but now in the lower leagues and in the FA Cup games, I think it swings and roundabouts. You know, you'll get one go against you, but you'll get a couple four during the season, so it all evens itself out.
I think with the Eastleigh game, though, it wasn't like it was a ridiculous decision. Like, you know, you think the most obvious one is Pedro Mendes against Man United, you know, where it's yards over the line. It wasn't like that. It was literally, it was, you know, a very close one. And, you know, seeing it in real time, it's just impossible, isn't it, to try and to expect a referee or linesman to be absolutely sure either way.
No, I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, unless you've got goal line technology, you can't, I mean, it's I don't think people can really mind and say it's an impossible job to call, and it's got that speed as well. You can't expect the license to get that. So the goal on technology, then no one can argue. Simply, it's a goal, or it's not a goal. But with that, I mean, with the split, the view is quite like the linesman quite looking at a replay, and then, so yeah, he's got to make the instant decision, and he made the decision, and I think it's too tight to really to argue with, and. And on the White Hawk one, as Gary said, I think, yeah, when the time's up, the time's up. And it's one, I think, White Hawk, because I think Ross Filton here after the goal, he went a bit over the top and actually got sent off for a reaction. I think that's taking it a bit too far. As I know it's a bit of passion, it's the FA Cup, but at the end of the day, the final whistle's gone. There's nothing you can do. It's frustrating, obviously, very frustrating, but we wonder sort of for some players to accept it.
We'll move on. Sheffield United beat Leyton Orient 6-0, and for me, the best performance by any individual in the FA Cup, in the FA Cup first round. Harry Chapman, who scored a hat-trick. He's a lad on loan from Middlesbrough. And yeah, it was his birthday on bonfire night as well.
That year, obviously, it's always nice to score a hat-trick. It's obviously not a result I want to see. 6-0 against Leyton Orient, because they're in such a bad time, so they probably could have, the fans could have done with a bit of cheer, you know, having a good running the FA Cup, but to go out 6-0 is never nice to any club, you know. If you're not playing well and you go to Sheffield United, it's not an easy place to go, you know, and if they get on top of you, they can put a performance like that.
Yeah, Sheffield United starting to hit a bit of form, and it was always going to be a tough game for Orient, but no, full credit to Harry Chapman, say great weekend for him, and he's looking, he's really looking like he's finding his feet at Sheffield United, and you know, I think they'll be, Sheffield will be delighted with that, and I think they had a great cup run a few years ago. They got to the semi-finals, I think, when they played Hull. But no, they're, again, they'll be a tough team to go for any club in the competition. They gave Man United a great game as well last year. So I think with them, I mean, no one really, I don't think anyone wants to get them in the second round. I think they end up getting drawn with Bolton, which we'll discuss a bit later on.
Yep. Braintree beat Eastbourne 7-0. There was two goals for the former Wolves left-back, Elikobi, and possibly a third. There was a free kick taken, which got a faint deflection. I think he got a hat-trick myself. I thought he scored that goal.
I was going to say, Eastbourne, a local club, one of my local clubs in Sussex, and I was disappointed to see them lose 7-0. But again, it's one of those ones where Braintree, obviously, and not at top of in the National League, Eastbourne just a league below, and Braintree weren't going to slip up at all. They were going to go through like a cup final, and it proved, winning 7-0. And I say, having players like George Elikobi, certainly helps. And I say, he was always a danger from set pieces, even when his day at Wolves. I think he once scored twice against Man United in one game.
He did, yeah.
So I think, and it was one of those ones where Eastbourne had to be at their best. They weren't, Braintree were, and obviously the result speaks for itself.
Just to finish from me, the games I want to cover, Dartford v Sutton United ended 6-3 to Sutton. It was 3-3 after 52 minutes, and then Sutton just took control and won 6-3, the most goals of any game with 9. And also there was only one 0-0 game, which was Dagenham Redbridge v Halifax. So yeah.
Yeah, no, again, Sutton are one of the non-league sides, which are probably capable of putting a decent man in the caps again. You know, they've got some good players. They've got, you look at time, Mickey Bailey again was playing in the Championship probably 2 seasons ago, you know, so they've got some real quality down there. And again, it's probably a place people want Relish to go.
Are there any other games which caught your eye over the weekend?
I thought Yeovil against Solihull Moors. That surprised me a bit. Say Yeovil 2-0 up coasting, and then Yeovil had a player sent off, and it gave that Solihull that bit of confidence. And full credit to the character of their side, put it back 2-0, and now they've got a really play. And Yeovil won't really want to go up there, and apparently cold Tuesday night, and so I think we're in danger of upset. And I think there's a similar one as well, Gillingham drawing 2-0 with Brackley Town. And Gillingham must be sick of the sight of Brackley. I think they played each other quite a bit in the FA Cup over last year, isn't it? Last time they met, Brackley knocked Gillingham out. So, and they'll have to go up there again in the replay. And again, they will not be looking forward to that.
Are there any games you want to mention, Gary, that haven't been discussed?
No, I think we've pretty much covered the ones where there's upsets and ones where there could be shocks. You know, it's as we said, the FA Cup is so special in terms of that, and great for the non-league clubs to get a bit of recognition.
Well, we've got 39 results in at the time of recording. The 40th game still underway, but 15 replays out of them, so nearly half the games have ended in draws. Plenty of replays to look forward to next week, next Tuesday night. Any replays in particular worth watching? You think?
No, I think obviously nice to see if Westfield can progress. Obviously, it'd be a tough game at Curzon, but being ranked the lowest ranked team in the competition, you almost have a soft spot for the lowest ranked side, and hopefully they can progress, and it'd be great for a club like that. As you mentioned their ground earlier, you never know what the money can do. It could lead to upgrades and things like that for the future for them, so it'd be nice to see a side like that progress into the second round proper.
Yeah, the Solihull against Yeovil game as well, and the Brackley-Gillingham ones, they stand out for me as well. I think both potential chances are upset, so the Football League clubs won't want to go to a I know it's been a bit stereotyped, but a freezing cold non-league ground on a Tuesday night pitch potentially could be obviously a bit destroyed. They won't look forward to that, and obviously create a bit of atmosphere under the floodlights. There could be some potential chances of upsets there.
All right, well we'll move on to the FA Cup draw for the second round. It's quite hard to try and work out which ties are the best because there's so many replays. Yeah. But the obvious standout tie, which will almost definitely you'd have thought be on TV, is Bolton v Sheffield United, two historic sides who've both won the cup. They've both won the cup before, and yeah, that's probably the biggest tie.
Yeah, it's a massive game. Like we said, we were speaking about Sheffield United a little while ago, and obviously Bolton are going well at the moment in the league. Sheffield United are going well in the league, and it's a massive game. But again, I'm sure both will want to progress for the financial reasons with the FA Cup as well. They probably both have pretty big budgets in the league, and running the FA Cup can only help them.
Mm-hmm.
That's a massive game that's going to be, and I think they could even attack a big crowd as well. And I suspect that'll definitely be on telly.
If Westfield win, if they get past Curzon Ashton, they're playing either Bury or Wimbledon. That's probably possibly another TV game, I would have thought as well. Non-league against decent football league side, either way.
No, it'd be nice, obviously, if it could be AFC Wimbledon against Westfield, you know, because AFC Wimbledon have obviously come from that level of football, you know, and gotten all the way through, and it shows what these sides from the lower leagues, if they've got ambition and that, or the possibilities of what they can do, and AFC are that example where everyone's got to sort of try and follow suit, you know, and so that would be a cracking tie, AFC Wimbledon versus Westfield.
The other tie which I like the look of is Woking at home to Accrington Stanley as well. That's the one which stands out to me.
Yeah, I think that would be a tough place for Accrington to go. I mean, Woking not going too well in the league this season, into the second round, and Kingfield can get a good action. I know we played them in a replay a few years ago when I went down there. They gave Brighton gave us a really good game, and they took us right to the death penalty shootout, and we held on over and won. But cracking atmosphere there, it really was, and Woking play well, and if they can get that atmosphere going, then I think Accrington will struggle, and they won't enjoy the game. And as I say, I think Woking could easily cause an upset.
Mm-hmm. And finally, Whitehawk or Stourbridge, whoever wins the replay, got to play League One side Northampton, which is probably one of the most difficult draws they could have got.
Yeah, Northampton obviously going well. Whitehawks are good to look forward to the fixture, but like you said, it's probably one of the toughest sides they could have got. They've got a good side there. You've got Perrin, Alex Ravel and all that, all top players in the level, and you know they know what the FA Cup's about, and they know how great it can be if you can get to round three. So it'd be a tough side for non league side to go not more tough than that in round two. But again, never say never, it's the FA Cup.
Okay, well, the replays are next Tuesday, and the FA Cup second round is the first weekend of December. I'm sure all the teams will be hoping to get through to the lucrative third round. Is there anything else either of you would like to mention? Or?
No, that's all good to me. Enjoyed your time on the show. That's good to me.
Yeah, I think can't think of anything else. I think we've covered it all in. Good discussion.
All right, well... Thanks for listening to the show tonight. You can follow us on Twitter at V2Football. You can also check out our website, v2football.com. I don't know if there's any social media or anything you want to promote, Gary?
No, obviously, if people are on here and listening, if they can get following Greenwich Borough, then great. We're trying to build the club and trying to grow as sort of fast as we can, you know. And we are on Twitter at G Borough FC, so...
and
get following them, and that'd be fantastic.
We'll
get the support up there.
We'll put the link in the description so you can check that out. Yeah, thanks for listening. It's good night from me and good night from my guests, Nick Davey and Gary Alexander.
Thank you very much. Good night.